Today we have the privilege of studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Hey, the fifth chapter of Divrei Hayamim. And it continues with the theme of giving genealogies, but teaching political and religious messages by means of the genealogies. The genealogies are not there simply to give names, they're there to give a message. This chapter details the feats and exploits of tribes of Israel, whose feats and exploits are somehow very briefly mentioned, if at all, in Nevi'im Rishonim. And these are the tribes of the east side of the Jordan, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Very little mention is made in Nevi'im Rishonim of the exploits of these tribes. There's brief mention in Shirat Dvorah, but we have almost no other mention of what they accomplished during their stay in Eretz Israel. Divrei Hayamim refuses to accept the limiting of Am Yisrael to only the tribe of Yehuda. It says, no, we can't accept that only the tribe of Yehuda exists. On the contrary, even though the 10 tribes have been exiled, there are still remnants of those 10 tribes still in Eretz Israel, those who weren't exiled, and we, the Jewish people who live at the time of Bayit Sheni, we include all of those 12 tribes. Even though most of us may be from Yehuda, there are still remnants and representatives of all those tribes, and the 10 lost tribes are not in fact lost. That is one of the key messages of Divrei Hayamim. The chapter begins with an interesting assessment of the historic relationships between the tribes. Uvnei Reuven Bechor Yisrael, ki hu ha-bechor, uvechalelo Yitzuei Aviv, nitna bechorato livnei Yosef ben Yisrael, ve'lo lihityaches la-bechora. Ki Yehuda gavar be'echav ul-nagid mimenu, ve'abechora le-Yosef. The sons of Reuven, the firstborn of Israel, because he was indeed the firstborn, and when he desecrated the bed of his father, his firstborn rights were given to the children of Yosef, the son of Israel. And then we have a very enigmatic phrase, "V'lo lihityaches la-bechora," and he should not be genealogically detailed in terms of the firstborn. Why? Ki Yehuda gavar be'echav ul-nagid mimenu. Yehuda was stronger than over his brothers, and he was the prince over them. But the firstborn rights remained to Yosef. And so there's a certain recognition that there is no one ruler over all the tribes, but rather there is Reuven is the Bechor, Yosef, who becomes the Bechor, and Yehuda, who is the Nagid over the brothers. It then goes on to list the children of Reuven. Mentions among these children are Be'era V'no, Asher Hegla, here we have Tilgat Pil Neser, Melech Ashur. Here we have a mention of someone named Be'era. Interestingly enough, in some of the Midrashim, this figure Be'era is identified with Be'eri, the father of Navi Hoshea, and Hoshea is seen in some of the Midrashim as a descendant of Reuven. Continuing on, it goes on and lists the tribes, the descendants of Reuven, and it says, Pasuk Tet, Velamizrach Yashav ad Levol Midbara Lemin Hanahar Parat, Ki Miknehem Ravu Be'eretz HaGilad. It's a very unusual and interesting phrase. On the east they dwelled until the beginning of the desert. In other words, their border went until the beginning of the desert from the from the Euphrates River, ki miknehem ravu be'eretz Gilad, because their cattle multiplied in the land of Gilad. Uvimei Shaul asu milchama im hagriim, vayipelu biyadam, vayeshvu be'aholehem, al kol penei mizrach la-Gilad. We're told that the tribe of Reuven expanded eastward from the Gilad towards the Euphrates River, and that in the time of Shaul, they fought against the Hagriim. Hagriim are presumably the local Arabs, descendants of Ishmael, who come up through the Arabian Peninsula. Vayiplu biyadan, presumably this refers to
the Arabs falling in the hands of Reuven. Vayeshvu be'aholehem al kol pnei mizrach la'gilad. They dwelled in their tents on the whole side of the eastern Gilad. The significance of this pasuk, again, is that this is an event of battle and conquest that takes place not at the time of Yahushua, but at the time of Shaul HaMelech. So earlier, last chapter, we saw conquest in the time of Chizkiyahu. We saw that the children of Shimon conquered land in the time of Chizkiyahu. Here we see that the children of Reuven are conquering land in the time of Shaul. Continuing that theme, in Pasuk Tetzayin, Vayeshu ba-Gilad ba-Bashan uvivnoteha uvechol migoshei Sharon al totzotam. They dwelled in Gilad, in Bashan, in its small cities, in all the courtyards in Sharon, on all of their extensions. Kulam hityachasu bimei Yotam melech Yehuda uvimei Yerovam melech Yisrael. Mentions a census taking place. Everyone was genealogically listed in the time of Yotam, the king of Yehuda, and the time of Yerovam, the king of Israel. Some kind of census taking place on the east side of the Jordan in the days of these kings. That is seen in much of the academic scholarship as a very significant event, an assertion of control over the east side of the Jordan during the days of these kings, Yotam of Yehuda and Yerovam of Israel, who reigned the first half of the 8th century BCE, towards the middle of that century. Now, continuing on from verse 18 to verse 24, we have another paean of praise to the tribes of the eastern side of the Jordan. B'nei Reuven v'Gadi v'chatzi shevet Menashe min b'nei Chayil anashim nosei magen v'cherev v'dorchei keshet ulmundei milchama 44,760 yotzei tzava. The sons of Reuven and Gad and the half-tribe of Menashe, among them, mighty men of valor, men who carried shields and swords, and stretched out the bow, trained in war, 44,760 going out to war. Vayasu milchamayim ahagriim, vitur v'nafish v'nodav. They battled against the Hagriim, again the descendants of Hagar, as well as Yetur, Nafish, and Nadav. Vayeazru aleihem vayinatnu v'yadam ha-Hagriim v'chol she'imahem ki l'Elohim za'aku b'milchama v'na'ator lahem ki vatchu vo. They allied together. Vayeazru aleihem means they allied together. Vayinatnu v'yadam ha-Hagriim, the Hegrites, the sons of Hagar, Yishmael, in other words, the sons of Yishmael were given into their hands, as well as all that were with the descendants of Yishmael. Why? Because the tribes Reuven, Gad, and Menashe called out to God in war. And he assisted them. Why? Kivatchu bo, because they trusted in him. This represents a very important theme in Divrei Hayamim, which will be developed and repeated over and over. The idea that calling out to God is a critical element of success in any battle, and that especially in the conquest of the land, divine help is necessary, and rely on assertion of first calling out to God, then doing battle, and then thanking God are the key elements of any battle. We see this here modeled for the first time. It's modeled more slightly a little bit earlier with the story of Yabetz. It's modeled here for the first time. They called out to God and they won the war. And it's modeled over and over again in the details of the battles of David and his descendants, which we will find later in the Sefer. I will just call attention to two additional theologically significant points. The first we find in Psukim Kafhei Kaf through Kavav, where we're told why the members of the tribe of Reuven were exiled. Vayimalu b'Elohei Avotehem, vayiznu acharei Elohei Haaretz, asher hishmid Elohim mipnehem. They ma'alu meaning here to take something that's not yours, mi'ilah. They detracted from the God of their ancestor. They did not give him proper credit, and they went after the gods of the land, whom God had destroyed from before them.
Vayar Elokei Yisrael et Ruach Pul Melech Ashur vet Ruach Tilgat Pilneser Melech Ashur Vayaglem la Ruveni velagadi velachatishav minashe Vayivim lachlach vechavor vehara unahagozan ad hayom hazeh. Why were they exiled by Tiglat Pileser, the king of Ashur? They were exiled because they went after idols. They went after other gods. This is a key point in Divrei Hayamim. Exile is a deserved punishment. The return to the land is the result of divine kindness. In other words, we deserve the exile. We don't deserve the return. We must be grateful for every holding that we have in the land of Israel. It's not given to us by right, but it's given to us as an act of divine kindness. This idea is mentioned over and over again in Divrei Hayamim, and we see it here for the first time. The last several psukim of the chapter list the descent of from Levi to the Kohanim Gedolim at the time of the exile. It goes from Bnei Levi, Gershon, Kehatim, Merari, all the way down to, skipping briefly over Moshe Rabbeinu, through the sons of Aharon, and showing that the last Kohen Gadol who lived in Yerushalayim at the time of Galut Bavel was Yehotzadak. Yehotzadak halach behaglot Hashem et Yehuda v'Yerushalayim biyad Nebuchadnezzar. Yehotzadak was exiled to Bavel at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, mentioning clearly that while there is a certain diffusion of authority in Beit David, no such diffusion exists among the Kohanim, and there is a line of Kohanim Gdolim right down to the very end of Beit Rishon, right down to the exile. And in fact, in Zechariah, as well as in the beginning of Ezra, we have mentioned Yoshua ben Yehotzadak, presumably the son of this Yehotzadak, as the Kohen Gadol, who is among those who returns to Yerushalayim, the beginning of Bayit Sheni.